Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Canada.
I am from Augusta, Georgia.
At the University of North Texas.
And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I love seeing things from a new point of view. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week I book calls with strangers from around the world. Today we'll have a conversation with Sarah, an art student who's dealing with deconstruction, Milo, a musician who's wearing his heart on his sleeve, and Ariana, who's navigating the path to find what she truly loves. But first, at Blonde Radio, we're all about community. So here's what you can expect, as well as some highlights presented by the Discord mod team.
Hey, I'm Pa.
I'm Andy.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Ari.
I'm Tree.
I'm Sable.
I'm Peach. And here's what's happening this week at Blonde Radio. Come on by the Discord and try out our new Meet a Friend voice chats, a space to meet someone new. Speed friending was such a hit that we've decided to keep a part of it for permanent use. Stay tuned for more speed friending events that's happening in the future. If you have a community event that you'd like to run, be sure to check out our Trello board, which you can find on the server links. And big love to a number of our community members who are returning to school this month. You've come so far, start the year strong. We're so proud of you.
And now, here's Sarah. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Sarah.
Sarah, a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to chat. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
And then where are you calling from?
I'm in Canada, in Ontario,
Canada. Oh, really?
Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, Canadian.
Yes. Yeah. Are you in, I guess, Vancouver, is it?
Vancouver Island, Victoria. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely. I went
beautiful
to, my sister's in Vancouver for school and I got to visit for a bit while school was online and stuff. And it's so lovely there.
We're very,
yeah, I'm,
very
I'm
lucky.
Near Toronto.
Nice. Been through twice now.
Mm.
Toronto has its positives as well, I gotta say. I will say I do appreciate the green we have out here for sure.
Yeah, I know that's the one thing. I think I do have a love for Toronto. I love like the culture in Toronto, but yeah, being in Vancouver, I miss being by the ocean and all the trees.
Definitely, yeah, have a little bit of everything. Sweet. And then how's the day been going for you? Anything exciting?
Not too much today. I haven't been up too much lately.
It feels like a Friday, doesn't it? I don't know if that's just me.
No, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. It's been so hot here lately. And I know Vancouver also has been having heat waves. So I've just been inside.
Yeah, we got those record heats last month.
Crazy. But, even here, apparently, there's fires in Northern Ontario. And so it's just
no
like
good.
The sun is all hazy all the time. It's...
We're typically known as the city of rain here in Victoria. I'm begging.
Oh, right.
I'm waiting. It's been too long.
Miss the rain.
Big time. Sweet. I think let's just jump into it here. For those that don't know you, give us the elevator pitch on Sarah. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what sort of got you to where you are today?
Oh, my goodness. I'm just a student currently. I'm currently going to OCAD, an art university in Toronto. And I'm studying, my major's is really long. It's a drawing and painting, but expanded animation and digital illustration.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I like to call myself an interdisciplinary artist because I work with so many different mediums and I kind of get drawn in so many directions. Like there's so many thinking about jobs and I'm like, there's so many things that I would love to try out. So I chose the program that kind of touched upon the most amount of things. I think my current dream is to make, I would love to make a documentary on the queer religious experience as somebody who was raised very Christian. And I even went to Bible college for a year before going to art school, but I'm also bisexual and I'm queer. And so, I mean, that's currently something that's like a big part of my life right now. I make a lot of art about that. And, you know, I'm trying to get together a book club with friends about like deconstructing unhealthy spirituality and religion that we've kind of been grown up with, because unlearning some of those things can be really difficult. So creating communities with people that have that like kind of shared experience is really important to me right now. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of
that.
The big things
awesome.
In my life right now. But
and I love that word community because, I feel so akin to you right now because also went through that very traditionalist, conservative Christian upbringing. I didn't quite hit the Bible college, but private Christian schools up until that. But there's that community where, even though, you know, I consider myself separated and fundamentally on different paths than what the church core beliefs are, finding that community outside when, you know, that's been your whole life, that can be tricky, because that's the one thing that, you know, I did have a fond spot for, was like, once a week, you're going to be, you know, with people that genuinely, you know, for the most part, are looking out for you.
No, that's the thing, right? Like, it can be so, like, that's one of the things that makes it the hardest to kind of walk away from the church, I think, because, like, there are positives to the community, and it like, especially being raised in the Christian church, like, I just remember, like, caring so much about, like, what my youth leaders thought of me, and thinking about coming out as queer. I almost thought I would never come out, because just thinking about, you know, what they might think of me, or what my church family might think of me, and having to leave that behind, like, that was, like, the scariest thing I could imagine. And so learning that, you know, like, you're not alone in your experience, and that there are other people that kind of have had the same experiences as you, and being able to kind of recreate that, I feel like, is such an important part, because people don't really realize how hard it can be to kind of walk away from, especially when your family is so tied to religion. And like I used to go to youth group and go to church like 3 times a week, and I would go to all the big events, and like, it was just a very important part of my identity. And starting to deconstruct and try to, I don't know, like, relearn your core values and relearn, like, try to find yourself apart from this identity that was kind of not forced upon me, but, you know,
you didn't have a choice.
Kind of expected of you. It's such a difficult thing to do. And so, like, it's been really healing for me to find other people, you know, have that same experience. I recently found a church in Toronto that is queer affirming, and that's been really cool.
Oh, awesome.
but even, like, I don't know, the church is a tricky thing.
Big time.
I've been having lots of conversations with my friends recently just about, you know, how scary and messed up some things can be. And I could go on forever about
this kind of topic. Reminding me so much of, have you heard of a podcast called Good Christian Fun?
Yes.
Highly recommend. It's so lovely. The premise, you know, they're pouring over old Christian pop culture stuff that we all grew up with, but then they give time and space for each weekly guest to sort of go through their deconstruction and what that looked like. Been really helpful for me.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I have heard of it, but I don't think I've taken the time to listen to it. So I'll definitely have to check that out.
For sure. That's awesome. Well, to pivot here a bit, I saw this post you made recently, and really, I don't know, it stuck out to me for whatever reason, about missing public transit. It's a photo of you on the bus. What's hitting most there? What do you miss most about, you know, public transit, but then in that broader scheme, you know, this past year?
Oh, man. it wasn't so bad at the beginning of COVID, because I got to go to Vancouver and visit my sister and stay with her. And the restrictions weren't so bad in Vancouver, at least towards the beginning of things. And so I could still, you know, go out, see people, obviously, you know, following the restrictions and trying to stay safe. And all those things are very important to me. So I wasn't like going out and fooling around and taking advantage of that. But since coming back to Ontario, where the cases were a lot worse and restrictions were a lot more intense. But the last few months I've been mostly just at home with my family, and I love my family, but I'm not super emotionally close with my family. So I would get away with just kind of, you know, staying and hiding in my room most of the time, not interacting with them all too much. Besides like coming down for dinner. I don't know. I'm a very big, like, people person. I miss my friends a lot. And something about, like, I really miss Toronto a lot, because I do love Toronto a lot. And
such a character.
Yeah, it really is. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And getting to go back has been, this past like few weeks, I've had the chance, now that I'm fully vaccinated, to go out and see people and just walk around the city. And the thing I love the most about Toronto is just, like, in terms of, like, the people that you see. And so I love to, like, people watch and people watch on transit. And, like, I used to be in a place where I would always try to drown out my thoughts and try to keep myself occupied. But recently I've, like, I mean, quarantine has kind of made us all kind of reflect a lot and think a lot. But I had to, it was really hard for me to learn to be comfortable with that, because it was kind of a coping mechanism for me to, like, if I was taking transit or if I was traveling or if I was doing mindless things, to always drown out my thoughts with music and with other things like that. And recently I've been like, it's almost, I don't even want to like listen to music anymore. I'll often travel into Toronto and take like a good like 40 minute bus ride or train ride into the city and back home. Mm-hmm. And taking the public transit around Toronto, often do it in silence now. And right. It's like, it's been a nice to like let myself actually think and be a little bit more comfortable with myself, and also take the time to like, I don't know, people watch and see people again, because I don't know, yeah, I really miss that.
Would you think your friends would describe you as someone who romanticizes their life?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the case. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of power in that, in, you know, taking sometimes minute or arguably insignificant details and expanding upon them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's like a cheesy mentality, but we do have so much control over how we perceive ourselves and perceive yes. the world and the things that we're experiencing. And it can be like, I have so many friends, or I see so many people that like are a little bit more pessimistic or get a little like, I don't know how to phrase it, but mm-hmm. You know, overwhelmed when bad things happen, or kind of get really into like the drama of their lives and the drama of other people. And that's something that I find very hard to relate to sometimes, because I try to be very optimistic, and I try to right. like, you know, see the good in people and see the good in things, and try to see all perspectives of situations and of the things that we're dealing with. And, you know, it's it's one of those things where it's easier said than done. And I don't want to be mm-hmm. over here preaching like, you know, bad things happen, but just think positively, because sometimes life is shit and it's hard.
Yeah. Just like, you know, because that can be a hard statement for people to swallow, to just think positively, but just like mm-hmm. the fact that it's so much more intricate than what you're seeing, which yeah. is like hard to wrap your head around, like see the things that you cannot see, but like mm-hmm. there's so much beyond the sometimes negative that's right in front of us.
Yeah. I used to get so caught up in living in the past and living in the future. And that's something mm-hmm. that I still struggle with, but I have to remind myself sometimes that like being an art student in Toronto and like being able to have the independence to just like walk around the city by myself and take public transit and like feel comfortable like knowing the city and like this life, like this is what I wanted for so long. Mm-hmm. And I'm finally here doing that, like exploring the city and getting to kind of just have that independence and live out being an art student, pursuing the thing that I've always wanted to pursue, and getting to know so many and meet so many wonderful people. I have so many amazing friends that I love and treasure so much. And sometimes I get caught up always being like, oh, well, I still live with family. I can't wait to move out. I still like, you know, just always like thinking about what I want in the future, being stuck in the past of the things I don't have anymore. And like, it's important for me to remind myself that like, I have so much to be grateful for. And like, again, I find that like, I always preach these cliches and I get annoyed at myself for it, but they can be very important and powerful things that are deceivingly hard to really apply to your life.
Mm-hmm. Simple to say, hard to implement, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. I love that a lot. This week's question is, what would you say you're most grateful for right now in your life?
I feel like there's so many things I could say. I mean, my friends for sure are something that I'm always going to be so grateful for. But at the same time, I've had to learn through quarantine just some unhealthy habits I've had and how I haven't had too many healthy boundaries with a lot of my friendships, because I have so many people in my life that I'm so like intimately close with that I am so grateful for and so thankful for. But I've had to learn to kind of spend more time to myself and distance myself from some people, you know. So I don't know. I it's a big question. I recently have been able to make some big like investments that like I'm sitting in front of this PC that I recently got like built.
Congrats.
Thank you. And I recently also invested in an iPad for my digital art. I'm tight on money now, but I have to be grateful for just being able to have the means to invest in these things that are going to be so useful for my future and for my art practice. And I used to feel like I used to not have a great relationship with money. I say used to, I still don't have a great relationship with money. I kind of splurge on myself a little too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's money that I worked hard for, and I have to be grateful for these things that I have and not feel like guilty about them, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. I think that's even reflexive on what you were saying earlier, like you know, learning to be grateful for what you have, but then having that balance, like even in your friend groups, learning what your boundaries and limitations are and what you're willing to, that's a wonderful skill to achieve. And I think a lot of us learn it a little later than we would like, but it sounds like you've learned it.
Oh man, I hope so.
Well, to flip this question here then, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to find a little bit more gratitude in their lives?
I want to say, like, learning to kind of humble yourself sometimes is really hard to do. Yeah. I've had a lot of like trouble in some relationships, and you know, it's hard to kind of not victimize yourself, if that makes sense. Like learning to kind of get out of your head sometimes. Like it's easy to get into this mentality of like, woe is me, or like I'm the victim, and like. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like it's perfectly valid to be at a place where you are allowing yourself to feel the way you feel if you're having difficulties with your relationships or in a bad place. But it's about finding again that kind of balance between allowing yourself to feel the way that you feel. When I don't want to say these cliche things that of just like, you know, there's always things to be grateful for, and there's always things in your life that you can, there's areas that you can find good always. And I do believe that, but I feel like that even that mentality, like that saying, can kind of be ignorant in some ways, because there's some people that are really going through it and might really be having the roughest time. And, it is very privileged to me to be able to just be like, think positively and think about the things that you have and the good in your life, because I have a lot of friends that like are really going through it with their mental health, are really going through it with their family situations, that are struggling financially during COVID. And those are things that, like, I haven't had it easy during COVID either, but I've been very privileged in a lot of ways where I haven't had to worry too much about my financial situation. I haven't had to worry too much about my schooling, things like that. And so I almost don't feel qualified to give advice with this, like in how to find more gratitude. It's because it's so unique to everybody individually. But you know, I do feel like, you know, there's always things that you can be grateful for. And I don't like the mentality or the thoughts of like, you know, there's always somebody that has it worse, because like that can often be used for a lot of people in order to like not reach out when they're having a hard time because people have it worse.
Right.
Finding gratitude in your life, it's so nuanced, and you know, my advice is not going to be good for everybody. But I don't know, I just try to always make sure that I'm humbling myself and not becoming too proud or too cocky with the things that I have and the experiences I have and the friends that I have in my life, because I'm very lucky in a lot of ways. And so like, it's about looking at the little things, you know. Maybe the coffee you had one morning was particularly good. And it's nice to kind of sit with that and really enjoy it instead of letting it just become something that, you know, you drink it and then you move on. Like for me, finding gratitude is about like kind of slowing down a little bit more and trying to enjoy things a little bit slower. If that makes sense, like be a little bit more intentional about appreciating what you have and appreciating the people in your life. And the opportunities that you have. Yeah, I hope that answers the question. No, sorry, it took me so long, but
no, it's really nice. Especially like, I think a lot of us do it. We become complacent in the sort of expected goods. Say, for example, coffee. I have coffee every morning. It's fantastic. It's good, but then you get used to that, and then it loses that special, the thing you enjoyed most about it at first. So slowing down and taking in the things that are good and you know, that we're so privileged to have. I love that. Thank you so much for your time and your words. That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of the day?
Not really. It's a little late in the evening, so I might just watch Netflix and go to bed.
Fantastic. Sweet. Well, I'll let you to it. Do enjoy your evening of relaxing before you head to bed.
Yeah, you as well. Make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Thank you. I will. Sweet. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Have a good one.
You too. Ciao.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
How's the day going?
It's going pretty good. This dude that wrecked my car a couple months ago, got arrested, and I've
That's a W. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, put me in a good mood.
Yeah, nice to see at least karma balancing out in one way or another.
Exactly. So how are you doing?
It's good. It's been a good day. Got a lot to do today, but I think I'm equipped to do it, so we'll see.
Okay.
I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat. It really means a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's no problem. I've been wanting to do this forever.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. And then where are you from?
I am from Augusta, Georgia.
Now, in my mind, like Georgia's like borderline East Coast, or is it more in the middle?
It's more East Coast.
Yeah, yeah. Coast to coast. Has that been home your entire life or?
No, this has been my constant home for most, for like all my life.
Right, right, right. Does it feel like home or are you itching to get out?
I've been itching to get out.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like it's just time for me to just go, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Find your own space.
But, yeah. Like I love everybody here, but like it's gotten to the point where I'm just ready to go.
Oh, felt. I'm sure you'll find it. Sweet. I think just off the bat here, give me sort of like the elevator pitch on you. Who are you and what got you to where you are today?
Well, my name is Milo Kobayashi. I make music. I've been making hip hop and alternative music for about, 10 years now. I started as a kid because I was really into the video game Parappa the Rapper. And I was like, oh, I like music.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, it's just been like that. I also draw and do graphic design and edit YouTube. We'll make my own YouTube videos from time to time. I've fell off really bad with the YouTube videos, but I'm trying to get back into it.
A bunch of creative outlets. I love it. I guess that kind of leads into my first question here. When did that sort of hit? When did you realize and when did it click for you? Oh, music primarily is the thing that I feel like I'm meant to do.
Honestly, after the first performance I did, because I always did music as a hobby and I still really do it as a hobby still. But the first performance I had so many of my friends and family there and I just had such a great time. I just had fun.
Definitely nice to, especially after you've been working so hard at something, to get that external validation. It's like, oh, this exists outside of a bubble. That is my head.
Yeah, and making music has always just been like a form of just therapy for me, in a sense. Because I feel like whenever I like feel like things in my life are spiraling out of control, music is like my main go-to. And it helps me just calm down a lot. Even if I'm just listening to music or making it, music has always just been my therapy.
Totally. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's really beautiful. Anytime I'm sort of like overthinking a topic or whatever, 9 times out of 10, I'll make a video on it. And it's just like clarity.
Oh, yeah. I totally understand that.
Hell yeah. Who would you say in your life has been the greatest role model to you?
Well, really my dad.
Yeah.
And if anyone else, even though I have met them, most of like Tyler the Creator, Donald Glover, Kid Cudi, especially Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi was like my first like big stan of an artist.
And what about sort of to touch on maybe your dad there, like what things do you look in your father and say like, that's, you know, something that I want to apply in my life or aspire to.
My dad's always just been hardworking and always just did his best to just take care of us. Like, even now, he still does. But I always make sure I'm okay. If I'm ever in any financial bind or any bind in general, he does what he can to help me out while giving me his old man wisdom.
Is that something you look forward to, like being able to provide that for, let's say, potentially a family? Or is that still like, that's a ways away?
Mostly provide for the family.
Yeah.
Like, that's always been. Because I don't want them to have to worry about money or anything.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tricky spot for sure. So tell me about the story for your newest single, All the Same.
Funny enough, I wasn't even sad when I wrote that. I want to make a really, like, sad song. Just wrote down any sad thoughts I could think of and try to put my... when I write songs, I try to put, like, either myself in the mindset of how I want the song to sound... Or I'll just relate it back to like actual things that have happened to me. And some of the stuff in that song I have talked, like that I said in that song is things I've gone through. But at the time, I was actually pretty happy.
Interesting. Maybe like, yeah, I mean, out of the valley, you know, from that low point, you get back up to that high point. It's maybe easier to write about those low moments. I don't know.
Yeah. It's just like a little reflection, really.
Mm-hmm. No, but I love it. I've been giving it a few listens before our call here. It's, you know, regardless if you've gone through or not, like the stuff you're talking about, it hits. It's heavy.
Yeah. I got my little Juice WRLD kick there for a second.
For real. That's awesome. This week's question is, what would you say you're most grateful for?
The thing I'm most grateful for is just to be alive and experience life. Like, as cliche as it sounds, I feel like a lot of people, especially now, in the way how the world is just getting crazier and crazier, we kind of take for granted how fleeting life is. Because, like, I'm always having existential crisis, like, realizing, like, hey, one day I'm going to die. And, like, that's why I want to try to leave a legacy behind, so that way I'm remembered for something. And I just feel like the most grateful thing I can, the most thing I'm grateful for in my life is just to be alive, to wake up every day. Like, that's a blessing.
For sure. Would you say there was a time in your life when you didn't feel that way? Was there like a turning point?
Yeah, I've felt like that numerous times. I just felt like I'd be better off dead, or I just wasn't happy. And looking back, I understand, like, it's just how emotions work. You're going to get to those low points, but I really try my best not to get in those low points, because I feel like I'm just doing myself a disservice at those points, because I don't do anything. I'm just lethargic. I don't want to move. I just want to rot, and it's not good.
So what would you say, like, helps you get out of those low moments?
Just try to think about everyone in my life, really. Like, try to think about my girlfriend, try to think about my dad, my sister. Just think about the people who like my music or just like me in general. Like, I just try to think about everyone else before I start thinking selfishly for myself.
I like that. I feel like 9 times out of 10, like, you know, when we're going through the hard shit, it's right in front of our face and it's like the only thing we see, and it can be hard to see the peripherals of all the other, like, really good and positive things that we have going on.
Exactly. Like, I feel the same way.
So to kind of flip that question, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to find a little bit more gratitude in their life?
Just appreciate the small moments. Appreciate a lot of the small things that happen, because there's a lot of big events in your life that you end up really glossing over a lot of the small things that happen, because, like, small gestures really do go a long way. And you will never realize it until someone says, hey, I was feeling really bad one day and you just told me how you liked my shirt and I actually turned my day around. Like, you never know what small thing you do would actually make a bigger impact, rather than how big things in life would make a bigger impact, but you never know how that small thing may have made a bigger impact, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense, yeah. Sort of like, I don't know. I think you just have to, like, assume the actions you take, whatever, big or small, are going to ripple. So just, like, yeah, trying to look beyond, like, and see what you can't see, which is a very abstract concept.
Yeah, like, just butterfly effect. You never know.
Exactly. Oh, man, that's super beautiful. Sweet. Thank you for your words. That's kind of about it. Any exciting plans the rest of your day?
For the most part, I'm going to celebrate the fact that the dude who hit my car is currently in jail. And just have fun with that for the day. Just have that. I already told my girlfriend, yeah, today is going to be a national holiday for me.
Yeah. What a nice little way to start the weekend.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Again, thank you so much for, yeah, taking the time and sharing your words and your story.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Always. Well, I'll let you to it, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay. You have a good one, man.
You too. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great. How's the day going?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Cannot complain. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Ariana. Nice to meet you.
Ariana, fantastic. Thanks for taking the time today to chat. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's quite exciting and shocking.
Of course, a lot of fun. And everything's been well today? It's been a good day overall?
Yeah, I know. I'm just getting ready to go back to school. So cleaning, packing.
Whole thing. So you're on campus for school?
No, not technically. I live in an apartment.
I see.
It's like really, really close.
Nice. Good setup. Well, I think off the top, just sort of give us the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what sort of got you to where you are today?
Wow, what a question. Well, I'm Ariana. I'm a user experience design student at the University of North Texas. And what got me here? Well, I mean, I think I always knew I wanted to go to UNT. My sister went there, so I visited there when I was, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so cool. Mainly because there's a McDonald's inside of it.
It's different. That's unique.
Right. I just always liked school. So I was just like, oh, it's like school, but really big. And then I just kind of ended up here, just probably not by coincidence, but just kind of like the path that sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
User experience design, I didn't even know what it was until I got accepted into the major.
Right.
It's kind of a process where you have to like apply and then go through an interview, and initially wanted to do graphic design, but I did not get into graphic design. I was very sad about it.
Oh no.
But like during the interview, I knew I wasn't going to get picked because I was totally like bombing it. I was like, wow, I'm doing so bad right now. But I just did user experience on a whim. I didn't know what it was, but it sounded cool. So I like applied, did the interview, did really, really well. I was like, oh yeah, I'm killing it. Like I felt really, really good. Everyone was really, really nice, great energy. And then I got in and here I am going into my second year of doing user experience.
That's so exciting to sort of, you know, discover something that you feel like you have a bit of a knack for. That's really cool.
Right.
That's awesome. And then for us uneducated in the most, how would you describe user experience? What does that mean to someone who has no idea?
Right. That's always the question. And it's mm-hmm. always an interesting answer. User experience design is just designing an experience for something, for someone who's using a product. So it could be opening a bottle to designing a website. Now, right. In like my university setting, it is more web and app based. So like, where are the buttons? Why are the buttons there? Like, how is a profile set up? You know, what words are we using? Are the buttons square or round? Like, you know, stuff like that that you usually wouldn't think of, but has a lot to do with user experience.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's 100. It feels like 100,000 small details that we overlook, but are actually so, so important.
Right. And you don't even realize until mm-hmm. you're like learning about it and you're like, wow, there's so many things
totally.
That go into like making a website.
Yeah, I did a brief... I lost my job to COVID, but before that, I was doing some sort of like base level copywriting and web design stuff. And it's true. There's so much that I was just like, wow, I guess I was just kind of assuming this happened magically somehow. I didn't actually think of the process of how this would be made.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. For COVID, though, that's crazy.
It's rough, but I honestly, it's low-key a blessing because it let me do this. So we take those silver linings.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So a master of one versus being a jack of all trades. I saw you made a post recently about trying out a bunch of different mediums. I don't know if that was for school or anything. Do you ever worry about not finding the one specific thing you're really good at?
Yes. It's so crazy that you asked that. I feel like this is my life question for me. This is like all I think about. And it's because for school, I was forced to do it. I had no choice. Uh-huh. The art program at the university I go to is very, very rigorous, very, very harsh, in my opinion. But I also think that it's kind of just a lot of art programs are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really forced to push yourself like really, really hard and to do like new things. But the problem is like you don't know how to use these new things. So you're really just like diving headfirst into things that you don't know how to use and then being graded on it, which is very scary. But can also be fun when you're just like scribbling around and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. And it either turns out great and you're really happy or it turns out really bad. But I think as for myself, you know, I was always into anything that had to do with art. I loved drawing ever since I was a kid. I was in orchestra and I'm here, but I always felt like I wasn't good at just one. Like there wasn't one thing that I was good at.
Right.
It was just like I liked to do a whole bunch of things and I would really like beat myself up for it. I was like, oh, well, I'm not that good at drawing. Like I'm not that good at crocheting, but I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can paint a little bit. I'm just like losing myself here. What was the question?
Well, you're kind of answering it, just sort of like that inherent fear that I think a lot of creatives have of like not being able to find one specific thing. But I think, you know, we see people that master one thing, they pop off and they're really good and fantastic and congrats to them. But in a practical way, I think more so, especially today, like being okay and kind of decent at a lot of things can open so many opportunities, you know?
Right. This summer I've been doing kind of like a job search and, you know, in my cover letter, my resume, I'm like, you know, I have experience doing graphic design. I'm a junior user experience designer. I can do Photoshop and Illustrator and I can do, you know, a little bit of Premiere Pro, which is kind of like the pro side. It's like, I kind of like have dipped my hand in all these little baskets
then it's kind of like a fear factor. Like, what if they ask me to like do like this logo and I like have no idea what I'm doing?
Right.
But also it's kind of like, I can figure it out.
And that literally, I think, is like the most useful skill. Like, I've gone to school for some like a digital media program, some writing, whatever. But like the ability to know how to use like Google, YouTube, and Reddit to find the answers you need about these specific programs, is that's like, if someone knows how to do that, I trust them with any creative project.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly what I did my whole entire first year of college. Mm-hmm. Was look up YouTube videos on how to do things for my assignments, because I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
We had to create a hardcover book from scratch.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like Googling like how to bookbind, like bookbinding needles, like what technique should I use, like book glue and all this stuff. But I think, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm kind of realizing that you don't have to have just one thing. I feel like for a lot of people, especially creative people, they want to make a career out of their creative abilities. And if you're going to make a career out of it, you have to be really, really good at what you do, because why else would anyone want to buy your things or someone want to hire you? But I think a part of me thinks you kind of lose like the luster of what you love when it becomes your work.
Right.
And I feel like I'm kind of navigating that now as a person who would love to just like sit in my room and like draw and like make earrings and crochet all day. But then once it becomes a job, like, is it going to be the same? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of why we're all set on like having that one thing that we can do.
Yeah. Oh man, that is a scary hurdle and obstacle to face eventually. But I don't know. It's not, you got the drive, you got the passion. I trust you.
Thank you.
Of course. What impact do you want to leave with your art, whatever it ends up being? Now or even 5 years from now, either an idea or a feeling, what do you want people to remember you for?
Wow. I feel like I would want to be remembered for joy, like anything that could bring anyone joy. I think in life, things are so simple, but they're just so, they can just make you so happy. Like things that just make you stop like, oh my gosh, like look at that. And then it's just kind of like, I don't know, a little moment of just like, wow, like admiration just for something. Oh, great example. There's like steps leading up to my house and there's like a piece of paper. It's like a straw paper. Mm-hmm. And somehow it got bent into the shape of an E, like a lowercase E. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, look at that. Like somehow this happened. And that's just so interesting to look at. And I haven't picked it up because I just want to see what happens to it. But, you know, little things like that. I would love that to just be like everlasting in whatever is left behind. But I also love writing, and I find that it's a lot easier to make art through like anger or sorrow than joy.
Oh, interesting.
And even one time my poetry club teacher was like, Ariana, you're really good at being angry. And I was like, wow, well, what does that mean? Like, so I was like, I don't want to be good at being angry. But I think a lot of my art tends to stem from something like that, because when there's like a problem or issue, I feel like it's such a visceral emotion, it's super easy to just like boom, like have something to come out of that.
Yeah, an outlet.
Right. And then with joy, not to all people, but I feel like to me joy is like the like default emotion, and everything else is kind of not, so that's what makes me feel like the most.
Right.
So I think I try to like press myself to like make things that are happy. I'm like, you know what? Let's do something happy. And then it may not be in the end.
At least the intention is there. It may be to pass on to someone else, give someone else that joy, to use it as an outlet somewhere.
Right.
That's really cool. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
This week's question is, what would you say you're most grateful for in your life right now?
Wow. Most grateful for... I like my initial thought is like I'm most grateful for like my university, like being able to have the privilege to go to school and to have the financial stability to have someone pay for it for me and not be like worried with, you know, debt and not knowing like how you're like you're gonna get the degree, but how are you gonna like get out of this hole of money that you're like digging yourself into? Like as of now, I'm not worrying about that, which is great and such a like wonderful privilege to have. So I think that's what it is. But I kind of want to ask you, like, what are you grateful for?
Jeez. Wow. First of all, I just want to say, like, that's a lovely thing to recognize and appreciate, is like that security. Because, you know, if you didn't have that, I assume it'd be a big mental strain. God, what am I most grateful for? Honestly, I'm kind of stealing this answer from someone else I recently asked, but just the opportunity to create, to be in a position where I'm honestly working like literally like 10 to 12 hour days doing this, making way less than I did at my copywriting and marketing job, but like I'm so happy. So it's like, I'm glad that, you know, despite all, I'm doing what I love and all the priorities of life that you sort of have to fall into as far as like paying rent, insurance, bills, whatever. Those are still there, but they occupy way less of my mental state than they did before when I was just, you know, only working to pay those bills. Now I get to create and make something bigger, which, yeah, I'm very, very grateful for.
That's so cool. And I just think this, just what you're doing here is really cool. I mean, I stumbled upon your podcast on TikTok and I was like, wow, because a part of me, like I'm a thinker, I think all the time. Well, everyone thinks all the time, but I feel like I'm always just in this like constant like conversation within myself or with someone else.
Right.
And I always thought like, wouldn't it be so cool to hear like just random people's thoughts? Because to me, it's so interesting how like everyone is as complex as you are, but you don't know, like you're never gonna know that because you're not, you can't be them. Like I wish I could like be someone else and like
take a peek inside for a few minutes. Yeah,
right. So I think what you're doing is super cool.
I appreciate it.
And like what you said, like you're happy, which is I think the most important thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's you know, not to say I was unhappy before, but it's different. It's a different kind of contentment that you find. I hope to hold on to for as long as I can, but now that I found this, I'm sure I can find it wherever this ends up.
Yeah.
To flip this last question here real quick, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to find more gratitude in their lives?
Wow, more gratitude. I don't know. I feel like my mind's entering like cliche territory. Just because I know that like people can be in some really dark places, but I think even as cliche as it sounds, is, you know, we're taking life one step at a time. But if you wake up, that's one good thing to be grateful for. You know, if you can make yourself breakfast, that's one good thing to be grateful for. Yeah. Like all these like little tiny things that we do that become routine, that may or may not be a necessity, like those are things to be grateful for, because one day they could be gone and we would never know. Like you wouldn't even realize that you should have been grateful for it until it's gone. Just because we're so used to our basic needs mostly being met,
confronted so often with the, you know, with the present, what are we doing now? What are, you know, but it's having that future mentality of like, these things could disappear. You could lose the things that you're kind of low key taking for granted.
Right. And it's kind of the same thing as like, it's a little victory. It's like, if you have the energy to like, go make yourself like a, like breakfast, like that's good. That's something to be grateful for. Like you have food, you're nourishing your body. You're like still going.
I like that. Despite it all you've gone through, you're still here. You're doing it. You're winning.
Right.
I love that. That's fantastic advice. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of your day?
Really don't. I'm probably just going to continue cleaning.
Cleaning and packing, and just, yeah.
Right. Getting ready to go back to school.
Very fun.
I mean, in a way, that's exciting. Because then I get to go back sooner, I guess.
Progress. We love it. Sweet. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. It means a lot.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, always. Well, I'll let you to it. Best of luck with the packing.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Ciao.
Bye.
Special thanks to Sarah, Milo, and Ariana for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wayfi. That's W-A-Y-F-I-E. And accompanying tracks by Lowboil. That's Lowboil, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. Be sure to come by our Twitch stream every Sunday at 2 p.m. PST for more Blonde Radio interviews brought to you live. I'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to Blonde Radio.